In a reversal of fortune for M23 rebels in eastern Congo, the Army of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, with the backing of the United Nations, has routed the guerrilla force, who a year earlier controlled strategic cities including Goma on the border with Rwanda. M23 was founded in April 2012 after 300 soldiers, most of them former members of the National Congress for the Defense of the People rebel group that had integrated into the Congolese National Army, rebelled due to poor conditions and the government's failure to implement a March 2009 peace agreement. The rebel group has reportedly been supported by the Rwandan government. After a recent round of peace talks in Uganda, fighting broke out between the reorganized Congolese army and the M23 rebels. The army regained lost ground and pushed rebel fighters beyond the border town of Bunagana into neighboring Rwanda. The rout is significant since it is the first time in 20 years Congo's army has successfully executed a major offensive against the rebellion in the eastern part of the country. Rich deposits of rare minerals that are used to manufacture cell phones, computers, and other electronics are mined there. Now, after the U.S. and European Union pressured Rwanda to stop providing military aid to M23, the rebel group declared an end to its insurgency on November 5th and said it was ready to negotiate a political solution. Former Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold, now U.S. Special Envoy for the Great Lakes region of Africa, is hopeful that negotiations on amnesty and reintegration of the rebels into Congo's army will be part of a future peace accord. Since 1998, the International Rescue Committee estimates that 5,400,000 people have died in Congo from war-related causes, the world's deadliest documented conflict since World War II. In 2010, Colombian farmer Sofridi Culma began the legal process to reclaim his lost plot of land. The threats came almost immediately with the message that right-wing paramilitary groups would target him for retaliation. Since 1991, 23,000 square miles of land have been stolen or abandoned, with much of it ending up in the hands of national or multinational agribusiness and mining companies, former or current combatants, and farmers allied with armed groups. Some observers have labeled this massive theft of land as reverse land reform. The loss of land has been one of the many consequences of Colombia's decades-long civil war, which has claimed over 220,000 lives and forced 5 million people to flee their homes. Human Rights Watch has documented 17 cases of murders of land claimants since 2008, in which 21 people have been killed while attempting to reclaim their land. According to the Guardian newspaper, 52% of rural land in Colombia is controlled by 1.5% of landowners, a driving force of economic inequality, poverty, and conflict. Land reform is a key issue being negotiated in current peace talks between the Colombian government and FARC rebels in Havana, Cuba. Progressive U.S. senators, including Massachusetts Democrat Elizabeth Warren, celebrated when President Obama nominated Janet Yellen to become the next chair of the Federal Reserve Board, as controversial White House insider Larry Summers withdrew his name. But as Wall Street lobbyists moved to dilute the already weak Dodd-Frank banking reform law, Warren and Ohio Senate Democrat Sherrod Brown sought out Republican allies to push forward on financial regulation. While implementation of the 2010 Dodd-Frank banking law has been delayed by Wall Street lobbyists, big banks continue to consolidate their power, growing 4 times larger than before the 2008 financial crisis. According to the news magazine In These Times, the top 6 banks now have assets equal to 65% of the U.S. economy. To revive banking reform, in April, Senator Brown co-sponsored a bill with Louisiana GOP Senator David Vitter to raise bank capital standards, increasing the amount of money banks must set aside to address future financial crises. Brown also reintroduced the Safe Banking Act, which requires big banks to spin off or sell assets when their value grows over $600 billion. Warren has teamed up with Arizona Republican John McCain to reintroduce the Glass-Steagall Act to put a barrier between consumer deposits and more risky investment banking. While these bills aren't likely to pass, their introduction and public debate has had the effect of pressuring regulators to get tough with big banks and the financial services industry, actions popular with a broad spectrum of the public. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Liz Becker.